Okay, I'm going to respond to something David asked. He was trying to figure out what systems thinking is. Systems thinking is the ability to connect what he just talked about to what we're going to talk about. Which I'm not sure we'll be able to do that, but that's what systems thinking would look like. My name is Tricia Todd, and I'm going to give the first few minutes of this presentation, then Sharon Talboys will give the second half of the presentation. And a little bit of background on myself. I'm the assistant director of something called the Health Career Center at the University of Minnesota, where I focus primarily on working with undergraduate students. I'm also an instructor in the School of Public Health, where I work with professional students. And I'm responsible for the undergraduate public health minor on campus, which we just got on our campus a couple years ago. And I don't know, how many of you that are closer to your MPH or in your MPH program here did undergraduate work in public health at your university? And were you? What kind of program were you in? Was it a major or a minor in the program?
Major.
A major? Anyone else? Okay, I'm just curious because I'm learning, still learning a lot about the undergraduate minor and majors around the country and how useful they are in helping to recruit people into public health programs. So we identified these objectives 6 months ago, as you have to do for these APHA presentations, and we'll do our best to hang close to them, but I think there may be some new directions that we go in based on just things that we've learned over the last 6 months. My disclosure. Okay, today is going to be a tale of two trips. We have, Sharon and I have both led global seminars. In the work that I do with the undergraduate minor, I've set up public health global programs in Tanzania, Kenya, India, Uganda, Ecuador, and we're setting up another one in Copenhagen that's tied to clinical research. So we've been setting up these programs for undergraduates to help them learn about public health really on the ground as an undergraduate in hopes that they consider going into the public health profession. But in my position in the Health Career Center, I actually am responsible for the pre-med community on campus as well. And we have a huge community of students that come into the University of Minnesota and they want to be physicians. And my goal is to steer some of them out of that pathway and maybe into public health. For those that remain on the medicine pathway, to help them have the context of public health before they go into medicine, because I don't think they're going to get it in the field of medicine. A little bit more than they have in the past. But to get these students to consider being an MD, MPH. This is the pathway that we've created at the University of Minnesota. We begin, the physician that I teach with, Dr. Shaila Prasad, who is also my colleague that went to India, we started this program 6 years ago with about 25 students. And we would bring the students in and we talked about the life and work of a physician, and then we'd get them for the next semester out into the community doing some volunteer work in a hospital or a healthcare setting, so they learned a little bit about medicine. And what we learned from that is we weren't giving them enough context. So we created the medicine in the 21st century. Today we have 200 students that join us in our first class. That number goes down slightly by the second class and a little bit more by the third class. And by the time we get to the bottom of this funnel, we choose students from amongst that 200 and whatever number we're down to take on the Global Future Physician Program in India. And our hope is, as we take them on this trip, is to give them an experience, a global experience that invites them to think differently about being a physician. And for some of them, for many of them, we hope that they actually consider doing an MD, MPH. This is what our program looks like. We have 25 students we take per year, and it's short term. It's only 3 weeks. We do not go, you're going to hear a very different kind of angle from Sharon, because we do not go with the intention of building skills. We go with the intention of building knowledge and gaining some cultural awareness, gaining a lot of self-awareness, really growing in an understanding and a comparison of health and health systems in India versus in this country. We went to Mysore, India, which is in southern India, which is also very different. A lot of people that go to India tend to go to the northern part of India, which is a very different place than southern India where we were. And we go to an organization called the Swami Vivekananda Youth Movement, which was an organization that was started many, many years ago by Dr. Shaila Prasad and a number of other physicians. that were in medical school, and they were addressing medical issues of communities in rural southern India, only to realize that being a doctor wasn't enough. There were so many other issues that they had to be doing, which was included education, environmental issues, just addressing what we now commonly think of as the social determinants of health. And so when we decided to put this together, we were looking at what are the topics that were most important to include in the curriculum. So we have a focus on the social determinants of health, but environmental justice, gender equity, economic development, rural health, education, culture, all of these. So the students are really getting a package deal to think about health in a much different way than you do when you're talking about going into medicine today. So a lot of these students, the feedback that we got was they came back really questioning a lot of the belief systems they had, not only about, you know, previous held beliefs about India, but beliefs they had about themselves and the work they do in this country and the way we do things in this country. So we went as learners, not as doers. We did it through an immersion. We literally took them and immersed them in the community as well as in the setting where they got some presentations that they got to be part of. But we took them out into the community, and then we spent a lot of time, and I'm going to mention this later here, but we spent a lot of time helping them process their thinking. We learned that it was one thing to have the experience. It was an entirely different thing to process what you saw and experienced. And we also learned that everybody processed it differently. And it was that ability to have those conversations as a group and ask people, what did you see? What did you feel? What did you experience? What are you thinking now? How does this relate to how you will be a physician or how you will be a public health practitioner? That was extremely important part of what we did. Some of our lessons that we learned is to set up a program like this, you really want to have a relationship with an organization on the ground that already has a reputation and experience in that community. I've talked to a lot of people that have tried to take groups of students abroad just to give them an experience somewhere that a faculty member might be familiar with or whatnot, and they don't have the grounding in the community that you do when you have an organization like SVYM or other organizations. I know Sharon also is connected to an organization in India. These are folks that they know the community, they know the culture, they know what the experience that they live in, and they're able to translate for these students some of what they're experiencing. The very first day that we were there, that we had a speaker come in to talk about the history and the culture of India and the role of Hinduism and all these other types of things that he, you know, he told his stories and explained to everybody where you were. I remember going back to, after he had explained various things about the religious beliefs, and going back to lunch, and we were all sitting around eating, and the response from some of the students was, wow, can you believe they believe that? I said, okay, let's turn this around here and start looking at some of your beliefs. And we talked a lot about our belief systems and the role they play and in everything we do. And that was the very first day, and a lot of these students walked away from that experience starting to challenge their own belief systems, which to me was a huge success. If everything else wasn't successful, that was a huge success, because I think that's what helps us grow. Having the right places to take students, that they have, they're safe enough to learn, and yet they're challenged outside their comfort zone. We kept talking about comfort zone. We want you to outside your comfort zone. That is really easy to do in most parts of India. Yeah. And so it was really, really worthwhile. But again, helping students figure out, why are they feeling challenged? What's the challenge you're facing? So that was a lot of what we tried to do. Dr. Prasad is an MD-MPH who was trained in India and came to this country, worked in Detroit, worked in Mississippi, came to Minneapolis after that. I often asked him, you know, what was the biggest cultural shock? And he said, well, his biggest cultural shock was actually going from Detroit to Mississippi. It wasn't coming from India to this country. But he also has played an important part in being able to help students really go back and forth between the two cultures. And I think having somebody like that on the trip is really important. This year we're using, he's the director of residency at North Memorial, so he has a lot of residents, and we're actually using residents to send them instead of he and I to take the students. So we're exploring to see how this will work. It will be very interesting because they won't have Dr. Prasad and his ability to go back and forth between the two cultures. But many of the faculty that are on the ground there do have that capacity. Some of the lessons that I learned were I took 25 pre-med students to India and brought back 25 public health students. Mm-hmm. It was really, really interesting because we talked to them afterwards and we did a survey with them and said, you know, where are you on this scale of interest in MD versus MPH or MD-MPH? And all of the students that originally said they were only interested in MD were at least interested in MD-MPH. Some of the students that were interested in MD actually said, nope, I want to go further upstream. I'm going into MPH. This quote that I put here is actually a quote from somebody that was just dead set. Medicine is the direction she wants to go, and she had no interest in public health whatsoever. And so I thought it was kind of interesting that she really realized, well, wait a minute, I need to think about medicine differently. And then the last point I want to make that for me was a real aha, I knew this from years of working in leadership development, but the, you know, Ron Heifetz talks about the debriefing has to be almost twice the length as the experience. And we did. Every morning we debriefed, every noon we debriefed, every evening we debriefed. We did it in a variety of ways. We had all the teams. We had five teams. The students came in groups as teams, and they each had to take on a project while they were there. It was an education project where they basically had to learn about a subject more deeply, and then they could go out and learn about it in any way they wanted to, and then they'd do the presentation when they came back to the University of Minnesota. And so a lot of them went out and they filmed people. They did interviews, you know, we had the folks at SBYM recommend who they should talk to, things like that. But that experience of debriefing throughout the entire 3 weeks was probably the most important part for the learning for our students. Now I'll let Sharon.
Hello, thank you, Tricia. I'm going to talk about our program from the University of Utah, Global Public Health Program. My name is Sharon Talboys. I have dual roles at the University of Utah's Division of Public Health. I am Associate Director of our Office of Public Health Workforce Excellence. So one of my hats is training the workforce. The other side is co-directing our Global Health Study Abroad program, which I'll talk to you a little bit here. I do not have any financial or personal disclosures for this presentation. We call it a community engaged scholarship model. More and more universities, maybe many of the universities you're associated with in one way or another, are moving away from the idea of service learning to a broader concept of community engaged scholarship, where we're doing a much more partnership based community engaged model. The background of this, I'll spend quite a bit of time on this slide because the Global Health Study Abroad itself could only happen with all this community engagement work being done in advance of taking any students. In terms of developing partnerships, we came together with the Mehar Baba Charitable Trust, an NGO out of Chandigarh, India. It's in the northern part of India, in Punjab. The PGI-MER is a postgraduate institute of medical education and research, and they have a school of public health with whom we're partnered. Really privileged to have that partnership. India actually started their first schools of public health in 2005. Prior to that, all the public health activities really and training really came out of community medicine. And then our university itself, the Division of Public Health, what was wonderful about our partnerships is that, as you can see by our mottos, that we all have aligned purpose, which is centered around communities, a community focus. And our fourth and most important partner that's not listed here are the nine villages who have agreed through this community engagement process to participate in our community-based participatory model. So we actually spent that year and a half doing community meetings with with the MVCT, who was really our gatekeeper to those communities. They work with those communities and know them really well. And we did that community engagement work. We'd go to village meetings, and by a show of hands, they'd say, yes, we want to be part of the Basi Pathana Community Collaborative Development Project. So that was the beginning. That's the basis of our program. So about a year and a half later, we were prepared to recruit students and set it up through a typical study abroad. Ours is a four-week program that's faculty-led, so short-term, significant pre-trip orientation in terms of the spring semester before they leave, some prerequisite training, and lots of orientation sessions. We also have a team-based model. We draw mainly undergraduate students who don't know what public health is. They just know they want to go do a global health program and saw a flyer at the study abroad office. We match them up with an MPH or PhD public health student in project teams. So they work together a great deal in preparation to go. Three of our weeks, it's really intense field work. We're doing community-based research projects, and some of the projects have morphed over the 2 years we've been doing it into some community mobilization, where communities are starting to work on some of these projects. We do spend about a week of our time split up with various cultural excursions, and this is where we do build in time, kind of retreat-style debriefing. I wish we had more debriefing, because what Tricia talked about is really true. I mean, these trips conjure up a lot of stuff that needs to be processed with these participants. So that's really valuable time. What we're so excited about is the level of participation with the partners. We actually counted up the number of faculty, student, and community workers from among the partnership that actively participated in the field operations. We had 52 participate this summer, and that meant participation meant you were in it at least for a few days, not just flying in and flying out. So we had significant participation from our local partners. You can see the aspects of the curriculum here. We do spend a lot of time prepping them on community engagement and community-based participatory research, heavy on global health ethics. All of our programs and projects go through IRB review, and that's what we're doing in the spring, and really busy putting those protocols together and working with our partners to get it through, whether it's our IRB in the U.S. or the IRB in Chandigarh. Examples of some of the projects that we did this year in 2012, which were identified as projects in 2011 with our community needs assessment work. These are community-identified priorities. The first one you see here, our WASH program, is in the translation stage. We did all the research last year, the water quality testing, the interviewing, that sort of thing. In this year, we were pleased to be working with newly trained WASH promoters who are learning how to establish community WASH committees to improve water sanitation hygiene. So that one's in 1 year's time, well, 2 years' time, it's really translated into a community action. The other two you see here are in the formative research stage, and we hope that by next year we'll see a little bit of community mobilization around these issues. In terms of how these skills are transferable, these are the primary areas I see students gaining skills. Or knowledge. Some are really applying the skills, some are doing it at a knowledge level. But these also mirror our public health core competencies that we need here locally in our public health workforce. Leadership and systems thinking, project management, all the community dimensions of health in terms of needs assessment, engaging with communities, some hands-on skills in terms of how to do a needs assessment, how to gather data. And our students actually have to present while they're there. They either present to the Indian students who have requested topics of interest and vice versa, or they do community-based presentations where they're talking about the collaborative. And we're already seeing some of our work in terms of our orientation curriculum on community engagement and how to do focus groups and needs assessments. With my other hat, the local health departments in Utah have actually come to us and asked us to train them on these things as well. So we're working with our local health departments to train them to do exactly what we're doing on the other side of the globe, and it's very, very transferable. I went into this thinking, I'm finally going to do global health. It's what I started out from. I'm the poster child for this. When I did my MPH, I really wanted to do global health, and then I spent 12 years at a state health department. Not what I thought I would do, but that early global health experience really helped build my skills. And we saw for our public health students, especially our graduate public health students, that this was skill building for them, really good tangible skills. And for our undergraduates who didn't know what public health was at all, it was career defining for them. These are just a couple of the comments from our bank of evaluation questions. This experience challenged me to think about what kind of healthcare professional I want to be. We heard that over and over again. And there were more like this. We also asked them their interest level in public health as a career, and it all shifted. The numbers are still small. We had a total of 29 people so far over the 2 years of the program, so 15 a year. But with that small amount of data, we can see that the interest level is shifting towards a career in public health. So some parting thoughts, and I'll ask Tricia to join me with her insights as well, is that I failed to mention before that the Forum on Education Abroad has collected some information that shows that the number of offerings of global short-term faculty-led global health study abroad programs is increasing dramatically. And we have an opportunity to use that demand. I mean, it's increasing because students demand it, that we insert public health, because public health is global health. Even in the clinically based ones, the work that they're doing is public health, because very few people will actually be doing clinical work or should be doing clinical work in these settings. With that, we also have to make sure that we're looking to best practices and assuring that these are high quality programs that are using the information we already have, making sure that the relationships are win-win between the host and your university and students, that we're looking and using competency-based curricula and looking at what's out there. So I would love to learn about all the other kinds of programs like this, how they do it, and pleased to know that there's resources like that are shown here on the screen to help guide us. I think the most important thing is we definitely want to capitalize on this interest, but we also want to make sure that public health is a profession, that our integrity is not compromised by ethics, by going to another country and doing work that we shouldn't be doing, and that we're following good community engaged practices. So, Tricia, do you have anything to add to those? Great, thank you.
We have questions for our presenter.
I have a question about the IRD. So you do your own IRD through your institution, but you also have one in India, right?
It depends on the research study and who the investigator is. If so far we've gone through our University of Utah, because we're still working, because our faculty members were much more engaged in the development of the protocol. But now that we're evolving, our goal is to get it to where all the IRB proposals go through TGI, and that their faculty are engaged, because you always prefer to have the host country where you're doing the work to be the
right
one.
I mean, the subject to protect from who are there.
Yeah.
So
we're in the stage now of getting memorandum of agreements together with TGI to facilitate that process. So that's our goal. Yeah.
Is there any cost sharing involved in this, or?
Any caution? We have our program. I don't know how yours is funded. Ours is primarily funded through tuition from students, and that covers the basic admin and program costs to run the study abroad portion. All those other partnership activities, our division does quite a bit of caution. We have no grant. We have no big funding source.
But there's no cost sharing from schools there. It's you are funding.
No, on all parties in our agreements, we do have an MOA with NBCT and the one that we're working on with PGI, is that all parties incur their own expenses.
I work at an
R1
research university in the School of Public Health that's getting accredited, so a lot of focus right now is on accreditation and workforce development, of course, is part of that, but not as much on global health. We have demands for global health programs for our students, and we also have a push from the university to increase study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really unique situation, and I direct our global health program. And short-term if you have faculty that are trying to get tenure and they feel that they can't do something, it's a bit of a predicament. So do you have recommendations on that, or are there alternatives for building in global health experiences where students can get that workforce development?
I can say that working with the study abroad office has been very helpful for us. The funding side, these are the types of projects that are difficult to get funded. So faculty, you know, often it's a labor of love. One way to offset some of that is if we have a doctoral public health program, so doctoral students end up really doing a lot of the work and co-leading a lot of on the ground operations, and that's a help for us.
Yes.
I don't know about
so
you.
So one of the things we're doing, because we also work very closely with the Learning Abroad Center for undergraduates, because we do not have any kind of center like that. We're in the process of discussing whether we need one for all our professional schools. We have one of the largest academic health centers in the country. And so what we're trying to do is this program in and of itself is really for undergraduates, but we're now trying to develop a fellowship for both MD and MPH students, that they would be the leaders of this program. So we're trying to create a fellowship program that then funds it so that those are the folks, you rotate them through the program. And we're trying to set it up not just for this, but for all of our undergraduate programs, so that we can engage the residents and or sometimes young faculty, things like that, in the program. But yeah, the funding is right now, all of these things are paid for by students as undergraduates that are paying to go abroad.
And for us, it was only possible because we had strong leadership from the top in terms of doing some initial investments, paying for a couple of trips to get over there to lay the groundwork. But now, you know, with over 75 students going per year on any of our six programs, it does generate a little bit of cushion to build on the next year's program.
It's wonderful to hear this kind of work, and I always wonder about the impact we have, because there's such a selective group of individuals who are willing to take this kind of experience. What kind of metrics would you want to see employed to demonstrate, you know, sort of unequivocally, that we're not simply rewarding people who are already committed to these kinds of things, but really we've made the kind of impact and change that you desire?
I think that, you know, training evaluation is always so difficult. I think these kinds of opportunities really offer the possibility to do skills demonstration and to actually see and record that. So that's part of it, more so than just surveys and the evaluations pre and post. I'd like to build in something where you can actually, you know, have them demonstrate a skill like interviewing, like community needs assessment, like you know, giving a high quality presentation.
And we don't do that obviously because we're not doing a, you know, skill based activity there. We are measuring you know, the pre and post interest in MD, MPH or MPH. We're also tracking all of our students. So we've got four now that have gone into medicine and are doing an MD, MPH. And those are the only four that have gone into medicine immediately, so that's 100% right now. But hey, celebrate while we can. But as far as, you know, for me, the other thing we're going to be doing is using the IDI, which is an intercultural tool to measure, you know, cultural awareness and some of the things that you can about working across cultures, which I think that's a big part of ours. And then being able to apply that to when you get back into this country, because many of our students work in. There's probably a lot of other
issues in that area.
You need a good brain to
my strap.
Yeah.
Other questions? Okay, and then I have one. Has Tia Younger